monday.intelligent-infinity.com and BBS Radio.
Okay.
URL.
Does it show the correct phone number?
Yeah, he just sent another one.
Okay.
Yeah, you sent another one.
Yeah. He sent three all total.
All right.
The third one corrected the phone number from the second one.
Okay.
Right.
Valerie, you're going to have to put this into the light stronger for technology.
Right.
I want to welcome everybody. We had several people join in here over the last minute. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Hi, Susan from California.
Who is it from California?
Susan.
Hi, Susan. Welcome
Hi.
To the call.
Hey, this is Mike Diaz from Los Angeles.
Hello, Mike. Welcome
to the
call.
This is Catlin from Arizona.
Hello from Arizona. Welcome to the call. And I believe we have an echo.
Yeah.
The echo disappeared.
Hi, guys. I can't believe I found this number. It's Suzanne in Columbus.
Hello, Suzanne. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Tanya from Jacksonville Beach, Florida.
From Florida. What's your name from Florida?
Tanya.
Tanya, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
This is Rick Garcia from Corona, California.
Hey, Rick Garcia. Buenas tardes, senor.
How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. This is my second time in conversation. The last time I called, it was regarding my father that got cancer in Lake Elsinore.
All right.
Yeah.
You know what? It's your second time, and I bet you it won't be your last.
Right, right. I do hope that I get a chance to talk to Winfrey regarding the situation that's going on with the plumes of the sulfur smell going on in California right now. They're talking about that might be something related to possible earthquakes.
What you can do is send them an email.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Just reply to any of his emails, and he will get to it sooner or later.
Okay, good.
Welcome to those who just joined in. Please say your name and location.
This is Mary from New Jersey. I don't know if anybody can hear me because I have internet phone.
Oh, I hear you loud and clear, Mary. Welcome to the call.
Okay.
This is Catlin from Arizona.
Welcome to the call.
Maxine from Florida.
Hello, Maxine. Welcome to the call.
This is Jim from Sugarland, Texas.
Good evening, Jim. Welcome to the call.
And this is Wynn. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
No, we cannot hear you.
Yeah?
You cannot hear me.
I can.
Yeah, I know. Sure. We hear you good, Wynn.
Good. Well, tell you what. I think we're on BBS right now.
You're not so loud, though, but it might be after muting.
Muted.
How is that, guys? Is that better?
A little, yes.
Okay.
You're still clear, but you're not very loud.
Well, I think we'll go for it. I can see my view on the thing here. And Terry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Daphne, are you on the line?
She has not checked in. No.
I think Daphne's taking off today.
All right.
Okay, let me go and I'm just curious, before I mute everything totally, let me start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
All right, now we're being recorded, and this is Monday, March 10th, 2010. And my name is Winfrey, and with Terry Brown. And we have a whole series of conference calls, and they're now all broadcast live on the Internet. And this is not probably your normal, entertaining kind of experience. We are working with group consciousness, group energies, and especially those of you who are attending our Sunday calls, kind of know what I mean by that. And that is, you know, if I was putting it in words, we are making connections with each other. We are feeling each other's energies. And even though you seem to be anonymous, many of you feel anonymous, like I'm just out here in an audience somewhere, on some level, you're not really anonymous. And, of course, we can't prove that. So this is something, where did that sound come from? This is something that you have to discover for yourself, because we do these calls and we're communicating with what identifies itself as two group souls that are in another dimension who are also attending our calls. And they're attending it two ways. One is they talk to us through both Terry and Daphne, and you've read the book about it, many of you. You've heard my stories, and you've heard their live appearances on these calls. And they're also attending in a different way, and that is their nature, at least as I've come to understand it, is they have the ability to tune in to each one of us individually. They have the ability to be with you energetically. And they have the ability to read your thoughts, if you allow it, because they don't violate free will. And everyone has to go through a period of acclimatization to see if they trust that, or else why would you want some strange group energy in another dimension reading your thoughts? Well, the reason is because there, when we say them and you, in the highest truth, there is no them and you. It's all one. And they temporarily, they being the part of you that's them, and in truth, I'm the part of you that's me, you're the part of me, it's you, and we come to a temporary meeting where we attain to have that experience of that connection. We always say, with free will and honoring the highest good of all concerned. Now, one of the reasons that there's certain benefits in coming together like this is because for a moment we become a team, an energy team. And on Sundays, we create group energies and group intentions. Because when you create an intention that a bunch of people and a bunch of beings in other realms all hold at the same time, then it's very powerful. Each of us has a tiny bit of power, but when we combine our intentions, it has miracle-producing potentials. And everybody likes a miracle. Everyone wants things to change. Everyone wants the world to change. Everyone wants the economy to change. And everyone wants the weather to change, both the bad guys and the good guys. Well, you know, the bad guys, we could call them the service to self people. They understand this idea of intention. They have groups. They have meetings. They create intentions, and they have their agendas. But the difference between the negative and the positive, that the negative agendas, which in the raw material is called service to self, do not get the support of the higher groups, as far as I can tell. They've got to just have their numbers creating the agendas. And, of course, they can lie to us, they can misrepresent, they can make pretend they're someone that they're not. That's why this realm is so tricky, because, you know, you hear us call our groups a name, the Elohim, but how do we know, the Elohim we're going to talk to tonight is the same Elohim we talked to Sunday. How do you know it's really the Elohim? How do you know something is not taken over the line and making pretend that it's the Elohim? And if you're going around looking for channels, and any channel says, I'm talking to so-and-so, how do you know they're talking to so-and-so? How do you know it's not something negative that's acting like they're so-and-so and say, this is Jesus or this is Archangel Michael? And you don't. And that is why the development of free will, and, well, discernment, is so incredibly important. And, you know, a lot of people, I used to say this, well, if it feels good in my gut, then it must be okay. And for me, that's not good enough anymore. I don't trust. I mean, it's a step in the right direction, but it's not enough to draw a conclusion, because those forces that are negative can look so good and they're so tricky that there needs to be a better criteria than your gut-level action. And there's got to be a better criteria than the right words being spoken. In other words, ascension, shift, angels, source, love. Those are all the right words. And if somebody uses all those words, does that mean they're positive? It might, and it might not. Well, you know, Jesus, who, this is not a Christian group by any means in the official religious sense, but Jesus did have some great counsel on this, which resonates very strongly. I do believe Jesus was extremely positive in this realm, and that he was a representative of the higher forces, highest forces, and that he had a mission, and he did say a lot of things that I resonate with. I read the Bible many years ago, and I have to say I was brought up Jewish. I wasn't brought up Christian, but I read the Bible at the time that I was searching, and there were things that Jesus said that I had already been experiencing when I was writing music and when I was traveling around the country, and I was having a lot of synchronicities, and I mean, it's like when two or more are gathered. Now, when we gather on this line and you feel the energies on this line, I believe that's a demonstration of what Jesus said when he said, I am also present. Now, when he said, I am also present, I don't think that meant his body. His body's not present. I think it meant that Jesus said, the Father and I are one, okay? Well, maybe the Father with Jesus was the Elohim group and the Ra group. You see, that was way too sophisticated, and there was no one way people could believe that understanding. So it was simplified. So the Father and I are one. Well, that's not so different than saying we are all blending energies and becoming one energy for a given time. We're not staying there. We're not glommed there. We're not held in position. There's no trickery. And when we feel that, I know from all the emails I've received, so many of you can feel the energy of it. And so how do you know what is going on? Well, Jesus said, and this is not even the topic tonight, but I think I'll say it and get it through, and then we'll go on to the topic, because it relates to the topic. He said, you'll know them by their fruits. Okay, well, if something is really positive, how is that working? Is it just a message? Is it just listening to somebody? Is it coming back and listening all the time? Well, could be, but what is the fruit? What's happening with the people? Now, that's one of the things I watched as this thing was developing. I said, how does this impact people? What happens when people come into these calls? What happens when people come into Team Shift? Are they just becoming blind followers of some teaching that I'm giving? Waste of my time. Are they really changing? Are they becoming more loving? Are they becoming more open? Are they having more synchronicities? Are better things coming to them in their lives? And for many, many people, that is most definitely the case. And I'm always amazed, and I thank all of you who send me emails, because I wouldn't know what's going on if I didn't hear from you. You know, I'm sitting here, and I can't see you. I'm not watching your light. Now, maybe these group souls can, but I'm just a guy that says, I think this is important, and we're going to have a conference call three times a week, and it's built up, and that you are telling me what's going on. And then I send your emails to Daphne and to Kerry and sometimes to the people that are volunteering. So they know that we're making a difference, because otherwise we're in a vacuum. So I really, really thank all of you who have sent those emails. And it is one of the things that says, given me confidence that we are, at least in the criteria of Jesus, by your fruits ye shall be known, that we're having good fruits. Now, what else did Jesus say? This is my paraphrase. He said, they'll come in my name, but they really won't be in my name. They'll be deceiving you. That's just what I said. Anyone, because they use Jesus' name, does not mean that they are representing the Christ consciousness. And what is the Christ consciousness? The Christ consciousness, I believe, is another way of saying the law of one. We are all part of each other. We are the same energy. What did Jesus say? As you do it to the smallest of these, you do it to me. Another way of saying the law of one. Why did Carla Ruckert call her books Ra, the law of one? Because the law of one is the highest principle in the universe. And it's not a law like a law in the books, it's just the truth. Now, you may not know it's the truth. Maybe you would disagree with it. So if it is true, it's something that you have to discover yourself and think that it might be true. It very much relates to almost every spiritual religious movement on our planet. It's positive, usually has some kind of reference to the idea that we're all brothers. Why are we all brothers? Because we're all the same energy. We're all children of the same Father and are the same high sources. And we all have that potential to act the access to that. And so I called this topic tonight free will, because it's a word that comes up so much, and it can be confusing, even to me. And I'm just going to explore it here out loud. And when I was younger, if I was going to give the time that I experienced my own demonstration of free will, in the, I guess, the most profound way, was when I was hitchhiking around the country playing music. And I just threw all my caution to the wind, and I said to myself, I remember I said, If there's a God, this trip is going to make me know that's true. Because at that time, I had been reading, studying spiritual things. I read Yogananda, which was one of the things that Daphne always talks about. I'd read Edgar Cayce. But I had not implemented that in my life. I mean, it was just mental stuff, and I couldn't, it was kind of far out. It's like, is this true? Is this true? Could it work this way? And so when I hitchhiked around the country, it's like I was blowing in a cosmic wind because I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know where I would end up. I didn't know who I would meet. I didn't even know if I would survive. I didn't feel that worldwise. And I left Berkeley with my guitar, and I put my thumb out, and it was like I stepped on a magic carpet ride for about 3 and 4 years. And I ended up all these places. I slept in people's living rooms. And I had one synchronicity after another, things that couldn't have happened. I don't want to go into them, but I said, this is real. But then as soon, and it was like I didn't have any cares. I didn't worry about money. Somehow or another, I would be led to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing. And nothing was grounded. Nothing stuck. It was all in a flow. I couldn't figure out how to ground it until I decided I'm writing good enough songs and I wanted to go to Los Angeles and to be successful at that. That was my way of grounding it, although I didn't use the word ground at that point. Going back, I can see that that's what I was trying to do. Because in the way I was experiencing everything, with this total kind of flow, everything was in the moment and nothing stuck. It's like, well, I shouldn't say nothing stuck, because I'm sure there's people that were influenced and that maybe they still remember this strange guy sleeping in their living room, and maybe I said something and maybe it contributed to somebody's life. So, but in general, there was no building. It was all in the moment, day by day by day by day. And so I was having this experience. Some of you might be having those kinds of experiences now in your life. And I was saying, wow, this stuff works, but how do I work it? How do I integrate it into my life? How does it, what does it work? What is it, you know, what am I going to do? Stay on the road the rest of my life? I mean, at the time, that seemed like appealing because it was so much fun. Well, then when I started to be want to succeed at that, and I went to Los Angeles, now I had to make money so I could stay in Los Angeles. So I got a job that I didn't want to do. I didn't want to do the job, but I needed to do something to make money. And it's like I said, what about my free will? Why isn't God just laying this out for me? And it almost happened that way, almost did. And every time I stopped, I felt like I had to do something I didn't want to do. And so I was trying to figure out how to work it. And then I didn't want a committed career. I wanted to be an artist. So life went on, and I ended up doing a business that I could do one weekend at a time. And in a sense, I'm still that way. I'm doing one conference call at a time. And yet now there's a momentum, and there's a lot of people paying attention, and there's people visiting our website. But in my mind, that's all to the side. I'm showing up for one conference call Monday, one Wednesday, and one Sunday. And then people are helping, including myself, putting materials together, because the work is being valuable to people. Well, the next thing that happens, as the work becomes valuable to people, meaning you, suddenly I feel this sense of responsibility. And I said, geez, people are changing their lives over this. So now I've got a sense of responsibility to do this better. And the sense of responsibility says, well, where's my free will? How come I can't do what I want to do when I want to do it? Now I feel like I got to do this. I mean, truthfully, I don't have to. I could say I'm not going to do it. But once you know that you're contributing to someone's life, and then you suddenly stop, you end up feeling guilty. So you have to walk the walk. You have to talk the talk. So this idea of free will is a complex understanding. And I thought it would be a really good topic to talk to our sources about. Now, one key that I have come upon for myself and my own observations is that as long as there's co-creation, there's a lifting above this realm. If there's just following orders or doing things out of responsibility or because you're supposed to, or you're going to feel guilty if you don't, that is a lower vibration. There has to be co-creation. So what is co-creation? That means, Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you following on all of this?
Yeah, I'm following. I'm following you.
There's something about co-creation. Co-creation is when two or more are gathered. And automatically, when there's with co-creation, there is a lifting of the energy. So I feel free in doing something. And when there's not co-creation, it feels like a dragging of the energy. And so many of you are hearing our sources say, just ask and you'll receive. And then you email me and said, well, I was sick. I had this problem. I had that problem. And I still have it. And I asked. And other of you are saying, man, this is a miracle. I put my father-in-law in the light. And he was in the hospital, and he was in terrible shape, and the next day they pulled all the tubes out of him, and he was there smiling. Or you've read some of our little emails, miracle or coincidence. I'll keep those up so that you can track the things that are going on our calls. And so why is it for some of you, you say, I want this, I want this, I want a job. I want to get better. I want this person to love me, and yet it doesn't happen when we're supposed to be having free will, and our sources say we're always there for you. So that is going to be our topic, and that's my little setup for that. It's 6:30. We have about 25 minutes. Terry, is there anything you want to say on that whole line of thinking?
I think that I have some ideas about free will also, that when one is in the physical realm, they're operating within the realm of the laws of the physical realm. And so as long as they're in their density, then they need to have that into consideration,
mm-hmm.
so they can control and become master of their life plan, but within the constraints of what the physical parameters are.
Mm-hmm. You know, existence entails contraction. I would guess even our sources have to go into a certain degree of contraction, perhaps not much, but to exist, to have a definition of stuff. And in this realm, how you have defined your existence is also how you defined your contraction. And so everyone is distorted to one degree or another. And learning how you form yourself, how you contracted yourself, is the first step in getting over your distortions. And I just want to say this before I forget. Over and over again, recently, our sources have been saying to read the materials. The materials are full of keys to help you free yourself. The materials are the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, the raw material, which is a foundational material, the Elohim book, the Creator God book, and we're putting up more and more of our archives in our show. And these shows, what we're doing, has an energy to it. You know, I was up in Flagstaff yesterday, and I have my friend Steve, who actually came to see me a number of years ago when I gave a talk at the local Unity Church, and he's kind of been paying vague interest, and then he got really into a lot of interest about 6 months ago, and he started listening to our conference calls regularly, and he said, you know, when, this is what he told me yesterday, he said, I get bored watching television now. I have problems doing all the things that I used to find entertaining. And I have to say, I'm the same way. I never watch television. I barely go to the movies. And it seems like everything is under the energy of this work. And so it's like if you want to move into the higher timelines, the higher levels of dimensions, you kind of have to give up a little bit the things that are forming you into the lower dimensions. Because as you move into the higher places, there is more free will in a genuine way. It's kind of like you become cosmic, where you think of things and suddenly they appear, but not in a magical control way. It's a flow, just in a flow that it happens. And some of you, many of you, have had that experience, and you know exactly what I mean. So I think what I'm going to do is call in the light, and we have 6:35, 45, 55, 20 more minutes. We're going to have a discussion with our sources on free will. If we had more time, I'd have some of you make some comments, but I think we'll forego that in order to make more time for our group, Souls. So if I tell Terry, are you ready? She'll say no. But, and I don't think Daphne's here tonight. Daphne, you're not there, right? Right. Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke ask for a group energy connection for all those on this line who would free willingly like to participate in that. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present to answer these questions?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with you this day in September, the 10th of September 2012. And we take a moment and we come within the vicinity of each and every person on this call and each and every person on the internet line, each and every person in the future who will read the transcript. And we take a moment and we look at the topic of free will. And we see that there are certain things that bear upon each and every one of your free will. One of them is discernment. Looking at all of the situations, all of the parameters, all of the factors, and seeing within the third density realm which thing will provide an avenue for success. Consensus reality is another thing that one can look at to help them discern what they will need to do to bring their actions to a positive outcome. There are other things that one can take into account when they are looking at free will and free will choice. They can use their intuition, their sense of premonition, to see if there is some unfoldment of information, of events that they haven't taken into consideration that are about beyond their direct sense. And they can use this extension of their perception to look further into possibilities of how to achieve positive outcome. They can look to the configurations of the moon and the stars to see if there will be untoward influences that may affect them in their pursuit of a certain venture at a certain time. They can look to the weather. Give us a moment. Do you have questions?
When you say the word free will, could you give us your definition?
One is free to choose a course of action, a particular thing, a task. One is free to set one's goals. One is free to set up what they wish to accomplish and achieve. One is free to take particular actions as they move through their day within certain parameters. They're operating in the third density, so you need to take the specific laws at that time in the third density into account. In other words, they generally cannot jump off the roof and expect to fly. So within the framework of where they are located, the realm that they are in, then they have those laws to consider, and if they were going to jump off the roof and fly, they would need to take that into account, that they would need a device or some means to support them in the air. This is one level one we look for the word realm, but where within that particular realm there are certain conditions that one runs into. In other realms, one, for instance, in the angelic realm, one may have wings and can certainly fly. One needs to take into account their abilities to transcend the third density and their gifts. Also, when they are taking into account how they can move through their day and they can accomplish their actions. What one believes has a great deal to do with their success. If one has a certain belief that has been skewed by some event or some decision about an event or some belief about survival within the third density, if they have a certain belief and they have really taken that to heart, then they are fortifying that belief with certain vibrations. They are operating within a harmonic matrix structure, so they are vibrating at certain frequencies based upon their belief system. And if, for instance, they believe that they are not worthy, then that string, that resonance, that harmonic, that ability to put forth the resonance that will bring love to you is not vibrating. You are not vibrating yet. You are not allowing to vibrate. You are damping that frequency. And so your life then will reflect that. This is one of the ways which you have free will, but some of the things have become unconscious, and you do not know that you have set it up that way, and you are strumming your matrix to exclude the things, some of the things which you could use to achieve your goals that you really have, and to survive. And this is traced back to a belief that you have that has caused you to dampen one of the frequencies that is available to you to bring you through resonance. They sing with that will satisfy and fulfill you, in this case, in the area of love and connection and fulfillment with others and with even the higher realms. So when one can observe one's patterns and one can then see the distortion, and usually these things are so ingrained that it is a part of one's matrix and one does not see, and they get certain symptoms like I'm not getting the love I need or something's missing in my life. And when they can observe, starting from the symptom, something's needed here, then they can begin to observe and see where their matrix pattern has some kind of a distortion or a belief. For instance, belief that I'm not worthy of love or something. That can dampen the vibration that can then shine out and can get resonance with another being and can shut down that aspect of a person's life. So what the person is believing is very important towards them getting the free will connections and goals fulfilled that they wish. So as an individual moves through their life, they do not generally realize the vibrations, certain vibrations, certain ideas that they hear dampen certain vibrations and create a distortion in their field. And so they do not get connected in the way that they wish. So unclogging their field, opening themselves up, realizing any distortions in beliefs and working on them can really help towards the person coming to fulfillment of their own free will choices and goals, and can increase their own free will choices.
You know, I am not worthy. It's probably one of the major things that a huge amount of people have. And in many cases, they have that, not even because of themselves, but because of their parents, but because of the control patterns in society, where they're watching television, and they think to be worthy, they have to look like that sexy woman on TV, or they need to have certain possessions to impress people, to make them be worthy. So until they have those things, they think they're not worthy. And so when they're thinking that, or when that's like a background programming, even when they're not aware of it, it's like sending a signal from their own transmitter out to the universe that I'm not worthy. So every time something comes into their life that would look like an opportunity, they're sending this signal out unconsciously, and that thing responds to them and passes. So when people say, I want a relationship, I want to connect with the Elohim and Ra, I want this, and underlyingly they're saying, I'm not worthy, they're blocking the whole process. Am I right when I say that?
That is correct. They're vibrating at a vibration that carries the information, I'm not worthy, and then that is what radiates out into their sphere. And that is what they get in return, although this is not conscious on most people's part. It is sort of an underlying program that is running.
Well, the question is, let's suppose somebody looks at themselves and they say, okay, I think when Gary and our sources are correct, and I'm putting that out, what do they do then? How do they fix it? How do they change it?
They can begin during the day to look at their good plus points. And they could even write them down, their good plus points. What are they good at? Are they good at cooking a good meal? Are they good at telling a joke? Are they good at communicating with their children? Are they good at communicating with their friends, with their husband? And how can they increase this communication? To ask before they go to sleep, to send them dreams on how they can work in their dreams on the inner workings of their own self, to increase their own self-worth, to show them how they are worthy, how they are beautiful beings, how they radiate light, how they give warmth, how they have nurturing, how they care, how they're a good secretary. There are things where they are good. One might be good at debate. One might be very good at communicating with others. One might be good at making clothes. They can give themselves credit for whatever they are good at, for drawing, for even doodling and making little characters. They can give themselves credit for different things. They feel good about themselves and take a look where they feel good about themselves. And when they look at the TV and they see that beautiful blonde and say, I'd be great if I looked like that, you know, then they can look back at themselves and see their good characteristics within their own self. And it might not be a body characteristic, but it might be a fun-loving characteristic. How somebody brightens up when they're around them and telling jokes or even just listening to the other person. To observe, to see where these areas are where they don't feel that they're optimal, and to even trace it back to when they were a kid and something that somebody said to them when they were a kid. They didn't carry the tray right, or they didn't walk right, or they didn't hold their fork right, and then say, well, you know what? I mean, those are all minor things, and see how they respond in spite of that, and see how it affected their view of themselves.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I've experienced, we're almost coming to an end. If any of you relate to this as an issue and you want to put more questions in for a Wednesday call, I will give those as priorities, because I think this is such a big issue that so many people, they want things to happen, they want things in their life, but underneath they're saying, I am not worthy. And they're broadcasting that. And I want to, like, explore this to the depths so that you have the tools to release yourself from this. I know for myself, there's been times in my life where I certainly felt that, and that I found that if I could do a simple, worthy thing, it would start to change it. Like, going back to my times of playing music, I used to go to retirement homes where people were rehabilitation homes, and I would go in and perform. And no matter how I was feeling, I would switch my energy every time. I got used to switching my energy. There was one point when I was really depressed. I broke up with this relationship, and I didn't want to get out of bed. And I remember going to the park with my guitar and serenading strangers and playing my songs and just walk around, and they would listen. And I would leave that, and I was lifted. Find a way that you can do anything to lift someone. It starts to lift you, and it starts to open the doors for other things to come in. If you're sick, if you're ill, be a support system for other people that are sick, that are ill. Talk to them on the phone. Give them encouragement, because it all is one. It comes right back to you. We are going to just give you a moment for final thoughts to our group tonight, and we're going to end this call.
Thank you. We send our support to each and every person and to that place within them, if they have this place that feels like they aren't all worth it or that they are lesser than. We send love to that exact place within them, love and support, and we send thank love light to that place, and we are doing it as we are speaking, and we take a moment and we send this love light support to that place within you. We leave, but we do not leave.
Thank you. And I'm going to unmute everybody and...
Unmuted.
We wish everybody a good night.
Thanks, Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.